Hello and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I'm your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Tuesday, March 12th, and on today's episode, we are going to do a best bets and slate breakdown for Wednesday, March 13th in the NBA. I will be joined by Gibby on the other side of the break. He was with me last week for one of the rare times that I brought a guest onto a slate breakdown podcast, but he actually crushed it. So I said, you're coming back. I think he went like 2-0 or 3-0. In other news, before we get started, let me remind everyone of our typical housekeeping to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. To sign up for my free gambling newsletter, fiddlespicks.substack.com. That is where I send out all of my picks and my write-ups and reasoning. There is a lot to be learned from reading through the Substack. I've gotten a lot of great feedback and people being able to use a lot of my handicapping tricks on their own. So if you are interested in picking up some of what I'm putting down, make sure you are subscribed to fiddlespicks.substack.com. Again, totally free. And on days where I am not doing a podcast to explain the reasoning, I am sending out a written write-up. And of course, this podcast is brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. And you could watch the video version on their YouTube page, as well as check out a bunch of their other great creators. Let's get it started.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome in to another episode of The Advantage. I'm joined by Gibby Graves. Would you go 2-0 last week? 3-0? You definitely hit that Grizzly 76ers over.
I was 2-0. The third one didn't hit because Evan Mobley did not play.
Oh, right, right.
He hurt his ankle.
Any takeaways from tonight's games before we get into tomorrow's slate?
Tonight's games... Only thing that I want to talk about is the Sixers, Knicks. They played back-to-back games at the Garden. Obviously, the last game, 77-73, lowest scoring game in the NBA that season. I think that goes along with what you had mentioned on the last pod about the lower scoring and all the unders hitting. But that was crazy. And tonight, I think there's a couple minutes left in the game, but the Sixers are on par for, I think, 75 points.
And the first one scored like under, it was even worse, right? It ended at 75 again. 76ers 10-21 now without Embiid in as this game ends in 4 minutes.
It's tough to watch them. And, you know, as big a fan of Tobias as I am, he's been struggling. He has 2 points tonight. Like last game didn't look good. He's not getting the same shots because the attention's not on Embiid. Maxie was back tonight, though, and he was just like a step slower today because I think he's getting his rhythm back after being out a couple games. But I'm worried about them.
I'm pulling up the standings right now. 76ers 36-28, so they're going to 36-29 in a few minutes. Pacers 36-29 and have a 6-point lead on the Thunder going into the fourth quarter right now. So they might jump and put the 76ers down into the play-in. And then Miami, they play defending champion Denver Nuggets tomorrow. We'll talk about why we're taking the Denver Nuggets. So maybe there's a little bit of cushion, but it is slipping fast for the 76ers. Like I said, 10-21 without Embiid. Heat have been playing some of the best basketball coming out of the All-Star break. They're doing their classic late season Heat surge and playing amazing. So, I mean, they could fall to the 8th seed. I don't think we have much news about Embiid coming back. I don't think they're going to fall to the 9 or the 10 with the Bulls or the Hawks. But, yeah, not surprised at all to see the 76ers land in the 8th seed if that was the outcome.
Yeah, they're for sure a playing team. And I worry about them because Embiid's coming back from meniscus surgery. I've had the same surgery he had. And it takes a few weeks to, like, really, like, more than a few weeks to get fully back. And he's, like, He's a humongous guy. He's got to get his win back. It's going to be really hard to get your win fully back and then get your, like, your timing down and all that kind of stuff, because he was absolutely dominating this season. He was so incredible this season. But now, like, I'm really worried about them. I don't see them making it out of the first round of the playoffs, even if they win their play-in matchup.
Yeah, it's hard to say Embiid can come back better from a meniscus surgery, but to throw some optimism into the chat, Gibby Graves has the meniscus surgery and comes back with more bounce than ever before.
That is true. That might have more to do with, like, I was a late bloomer and my body just, like, physically matured after my meniscus surgery, which is weird because I had when I was 17.
Can I tell you my perception of it from the sidelines?
What was it?
I think you were forced to rehab and it was the first time you'd ever started working out. And you were just naturally athletic prior and then actually had to, like, rehab and recover and strengthen things. And not just your meniscus, but everything else got stronger too to support that muscle, because that's pretty much what physical therapy is, like strengthening all of the surrounding muscles so that the injured part doesn't have to work as hard, is more supported, is structurally stable, and then has time to heal. And I think you develop strength because of that.
So it's not a bad theory.
Have you never thought about it like I just did?
No, I actually haven't. Not because I think you're wrong. I just thought about it because I was so small in high school. So small.
Yeah.
But that's why I can't really compare it to Embiid. He is 7'1". He is about 280. And he is also one of the four best players in the world.
Yep. All right, well, let's get into this slate. I got no main takeaways besides Boston Celtics scoring 44 points in the first quarter on a back-to-back in elevation in Utah. I mean, without Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, and Horford, it's that team is just ridiculous. And playing against Will Hardy, their former coach, like, you think that they can understand the tendencies. You sometimes see that a bit. That's insane.
They're one of the deepest teams we've seen in a long time. Which I don't know. How do you feel about the deepness of a team impacting, like, I don't think he should win MVP, but, like, people have talked about Tatum MVP cases. And I disagree that he should be involved, but, like, is it hurting him that his team is so nasty?
No, he's just not the MVP. All right, let's get into this slate. I'm going to share the odd screen from FanDuel now. Let me quickly switch to that tab instead. Slide down to tomorrow's games. You start us off. Best bet for tomorrow and why?
Best bet for tomorrow. So the one game that I was interested in looking at is the Brooklyn Nets Orlando Magic. Looking at that over, the 204.5. That's on the lower end of scores, over-unders for these two teams. I also think both of these teams have the potential to kind of light it up if guys are, you know, if guys are playing well and hitting shots, if Cam Thomas decides it's his 35-point day, or, you know, if Cam Johnson or Mikal Bridges is heating up. The Magic struggled their last game, so I kind of expect them coming out firing. Paolo did not shoot well in his last game. I also expect him to have a pretty good game. So I like that over. I think that 204.5 number may increase before the game starts. But that's that at that number, I really like that over.
So the open was 206.5. It started coming down a bit, but I don't really think it has much further room to go. And 204.5 is the lowest number on the board right now. So if you were taking an over, that's where you'd want to play it, because everything else is 205.5 or some juiced 205s even to, like, minus 112 towards the over. So to get a minus 110, but the other ones might catch up. So timing this is going to be a bit tricky. But yeah, 2024 basketball, even with the lack of fouls that they're calling, these games are starting to pick the pace back up and the scoring numbers are starting to come back up again after the All-Star break drought. And I like that. I don't think it has much further room to go. Yeah, not going to 202. Like, this would be like one of the lowest totals that we've seen all season.
Yeah. That's why, like, I feel like any game could go, like, easily go over two. Like, that means every team's averaging 102 or 103 points. Do you, like, yeah. Would you on this, you see 204.5, right? You see this, the number is really low. You think it's going to be a little bit over. Is this where you would pick an alternate line and see if you can get, like, a little bit more juice at, like, a 210 or 208 or 209 type number?
And still play the over in that direction? Yeah, I definitely find that interesting. That would be way preferred as opposed to going the other direction. You know, I'll never buy insurance points. But, yeah. Like, I would never play it like, oh, I'll just pay 195 because they're definitely going over 195. It's like, that's not how this works. If you have a strong conviction of it, the thing with alt spreads, Gib, is that sometimes, and let me see if I could try and pull it up right now, sometimes they don't show up until the game gets closer priced because, let's say, a sharp group does feel like they have a large edge here and they model this game at 211 and they have a huge edge. The books don't want to offer someone to be able to alt spread and take a good plus money, like a plus 135 over 208, like you're talking about, because that's just offering such big juice. They'll force them to bet the over 204.5, and then they'll move the number, and then they'll force them to bet that over, and then all those overs at minus 110 until it reaches the point where it should be. And they'll get like enough information from the market, and then they open up alt spreads. So depending on when you're listening to this, go check if there's alt totals available, but I don't think there's going to be now. No, there's not. That stuff's not there yet. So check back, but I do think that's a good idea. I do think like any team in this NBA can score. I think over 210 is like not unreasonable to expect in any NBA game. I think even like 218 is not unreasonable to expect in any NBA game. So something priced at 204, like there's definitely room to push this the other way and say, what if these teams are drilling their threes? I mean, every shooter nowadays is just, every team's got like a few shooters who could torch you.
Right. And shout out to Jamal Mosley for the extension. He's done an incredible job this season.
What did he get? I love coaching stuff.
I think he got a 2 or 3 year extension.
Good for him.
He deserved it. I mean, this is his second year with them, and they've improved greatly. You see, Paolo has improved greatly also in his second year. So he's done a great job. I think it's a well-earned extension. He's a beloved guy in the league too.
So I've been talking about recently how it's kind of tough to target these totals. I think going over on an incredibly low total is not a bad idea in this environment, but trying to figure out some of these that might fairly be priced is kind of tricky. I'm going to be on the Detroit Pistons. Minus 1.5 was available at BetMGM as of a few minutes ago. Let me see if it's still there. It's gross to back the Detroit Pistons at this time. What scares me in this game is the lopsided coaching, because I actually do like Darko Rajenkovic and I actually don't like Monty Williams at all. Let me ask you something here. Look, you could share this tab instead. It's still there at BetMGM right now at minus 115. I would play it for a small bet because the number isn't very valuable between the one and the two. You're also paying minus 115 juice if you take it there now. But everywhere else is at 2 or 2.5 even. And the Raptors have already ruled out a couple people. So I do think that there might be a few more, and some of these are very important players. And the Pistons are playing actually pretty tough basketball. They're finally playing the players they should be playing. The rotations are a bit better. Simone Fontecchio is just like a gunner, and I like it. Talked about him a bunch. So I actually support the way the Pistons have been playing. But again, it's gross, and there's a coaching disadvantage here. And it's not a valuable number, so make it a small play, like half a unit or 3/4 of a unit. But I will be on the Pistons, and I wouldn't be surprised if that closes 2.5 or 3 universally, and you could pick off a 1.5 inherently. That should hold some value.
Have you been impressed with Wiseman? He's looked good the last two games. He's looked pretty decent. I don't know if that's why you're on the Pistons, but he's looked halfway like a decent NBA player.
I've been impressed with Cade.
Okay.
Fontecchio's got this. This is how I could prove to you that I've been watching Pistons games. Fontecchio's got a blistering black eye right now as he plays. So that's how you know, because that's not going to last long, and it hasn't been a while. So it's new. They're playing Ivy, who's finally shooting the ball really well. That's always what you need next to Cade, someone who's explosive and can shoot. And so that might be the piece unlocked. I really like Durin. I could care less about Wiseman. I've observed nothing about Wiseman despite watching a few games. Their games always start really early. So that's why you turn them on. Like I watched some Hornets games and some Pistons games. I actually think it was Hornets versus Pistons the other night. Durin is unbelievable. He's like a Bam Adebayo in the making. He'll be on Team USA type of player.
You think Durin is?
Yeah, I really like him.
I think physically he looks and plays like Bam. I don't think he has the.
He's so young.
He is very young, but he doesn't have like the vision or the passing ability that Bam has. I think that's a huge part of Bam's game.
Yeah.
But Durin, like, I don't know what his potential is. I think he might be as good. He might, like, that's his upside. Like, if he ends up being great, that is his upside. But I think he ends up being somewhere in between where he is now, Bam. I don't think he actually ends up being as good as Bam is. I think Bam's incredible.
Yeah, Bam is incredible. Okay, any other next best bet?
Next best bet. I think we're, like, I'm going to give another interesting one here, and this is Hornets Grizz. So I'm really attacking, like, these teams that are not – and you had the last bet with the Pistons, teams that are not doing too hot. But I think the over for the 205 also with the Grizzlies and Hornets, I think these teams cannot play defense at all. And this is like not their Super Bowl, but like this is their chance to really, you know, really
this
get
is their going. Super Bowl would be the funniest way to put that.
This is their time to get buckets and really like, you know, have a chance to win a game. Because they, like, these teams are not doing too hot, but I love offensively some of the guys on each of these sides. Like, the Hornets, Brandon Miller is an absolute gunner and a killer, and I think he's great. This older guard that the Hornets have, his last name starts with a V.
Vesela Micic or whatever.
Is it you? He's decent.
Micic. Yeah.
Yes, there's a V in his name.
He plays like Prigioni in those days when he was on the Knicks, slicing and dicing, bounding and astounding.
I've been watching many Knicks games to be dealing with that. And Clyde just saying it all the time. But yeah, I think the Grizzlies, and also I love Gigi Jackson. Like, I don't know how much you've watched him. He's great. He's good. Luke Kennard can light it up. I also like. Don't know who half their team is, but there are a couple guys who can.
Hey, what's his name's playing really well for them? Lamar Stevens. It's playing really well for the Grizz kids right now. I will say this. Grizzlies are on the second night of a back-to-back. This total was, I think, 204.5 before, and it's come back up to 205. So it opened was 205.5, so it was another one that was trending south. But again, might have met its resistance points and going back up. But in the way that this total environment's going, if they start blowing the whistle a little bit more, if there are some harder fouls, if they're hitting their shots, this game flies over. It doesn't take much to get over 205, whereas to get under it honestly takes some effort. So I don't mind either of them, Gib. I'm staying kind of away from totals right now. There might be one that I have as we go through this. Oh yeah, I had the Lakers Kings under.
Do you think a back to back impacts a team like the Grizzlies? You got all guys under 24 years old. They're not really in contention, so they're just like, you know, there's like their bench players are just as old as their fucking new guy, their starter. So like, I don't know. I feel like. The back-to-back's not going to impact their scoring as much as it would be if it was like, you know, the Lakers or an older, maybe even the Celtics.
Yeah, and back back-to-backs tend to impact the defense more than anything because your legs are tired and your ability to have like reaction time. So sometimes you get burnt quicker. It sometimes leads to blowouts, which then brings in the reserves, which then you have less efficient scoring. But if the Grizzlies are starting the reserves at this point, then like how much worse can it get to your point? Like they're just going to have the reserves in there the whole time. But then that you question their efficiency throughout the game. Are they scoring 23 points a quarter and not even getting to 100? It's definitely a possibility with these current Grizzlies. I'm going to be on the Denver Nuggets -3. Defending champs match up incredibly well against the Miami Heat. They have been proving recently that they have no interest in having a drop game and having a letdown spot. After that big win against Boston, they go and play, who was it? Like the Utah Jazz the next night. They come out and they absolutely smack them. Then they come out and play the Toronto Raptors at home. Raptors take a 20-point lead. Nuggets rally back in the second half and absolutely show some fight. Now this is a Nuggets team that's playing well. Nuggets show no sign in letting down. They might be going for that one seed. So I like Nuggets -3. We're getting to where it's before any of the key numbers. This is a close game late. Heat will foul. It'll probably push this over that 3 and onto more of those key numbers. Kind of a simple cap, Gib. Don't really need your reaction to it. I'm back in the defending champions and one of the best teams in the league. I'm also on the Indiana Pacers. Try and find a -3 or 3.5 somewhere. It's 4 right now on the FanDuel screen. They're playing a back-to-back against OKC, but they played phenomenal. They're looking better with Pascal. They're starting to develop an identity that they've been lacking since acquiring Pascal. Bulls have been absolute shit, so I think fading the Bulls is just a good idea right now. And the concern that I had for the back-to-back is kind of moot because I played this at -3 a few hours ago before their game tipped off, and they ended up winning and looking good and staying healthy. Or they're on pace to win right now. They're up 9 with 5 minutes left. And so if you look at that spot, then you're like, okay, no one got hurt. My concerns betting this game before it started was someone gets hurt, someone gets ejected and suspended or something, or it's a double overtime game and now I'm backing them as they travel back home. Not too concerned on the back-to-back given watching that game. Gib, if you were to pick one of those, which would you back me on or fade against me? Nuggets and Pacers.
I am going to fade you on the Pacers. I know they've been looking better and playing better, and I know the Bulls aren't looking great, but again, they're still playing as we speak. That back-to-back, I think, is going to be harder for them. I know I downplayed the importance of back-to-backs just a second ago, but I think that was for a different team or for Memphis. And I don't know. I feel like the Bulls, although they're not playing well right now, there's random games where they come out and ball out, and Coby White just absolutely is a monster. So I'm always afraid of him and afraid of DeRozan deciding to take over a game.
Yeah, they definitely have the pieces that could attack Indiana, but we just saw them play so well against SGA. I pretty much watched the whole game. The difference in those back-to-backs, to back up your point, Memphis is on a home-and-home. Indiana's going from OKC back home, so they have a travel into the back-to-back, so I definitely think that plays a part in it. I'm hoping this OKC game comes down to the wire, too, so I can middle this total. In other news, I think the only other bet that I was on was the Lakers and Kings under. I got it at 239.5. It was a simple picking off a market when everything was coming down, playing into that the Lakers aren't the best three-point shooting team and they're not calling a lot of fouls. So unders in those spots with teams that try and get to the free throw line a lot, like the Thunder tonight, is a good idea. And yeah, that should be it. Any other things you want to hit on in the NBA, Gib?
No, I think like we're, you know, I'm happy we're heading towards the playoffs. I'm really excited for playoff basketball to just begin. And like, this is always kind of a lull time in the NBA, like post All-Star break, not quite, you know.
Yeah, you can hear yet. It in the tone of this podcast, even. I feel like we've been low energy, strolling through it. I don't have any big bets. I don't have any ones that I love here. I think I found a few spots that are going to beat the closing market. I think it's important to identify them. You've been hot, so I feel like getting your opinion on some of these is a good idea, but nothing crazy. This is the dull season. Who do you have for March Madness? I don't know anything about college. People DM me about college advice all the time, and I'm like, I can't name any single player in that conference on that team. I can name you like maybe three college basketball players right now. We grew up in New York. There's no major college basketball teams there. There's professional franchises everywhere. I didn't grow up studying Duke's roster and Kentucky's roster and their histories and making an appointment viewing to watch their games. I was always watching the Knicks and the Nets and things like that. So never got into it. How much are you into it this year? And do you have any picks?
I'm definitely less into it than I used to be. I used to be a huge college basketball fan, but now less so. But I've recently been watching a couple of the mid-majors. I like watching mid-major basketball more for some reason. When they're on TV, they play so hard. The one team I like is Houston. I think they're maybe one or two in the country right now. They D up really well. They have a really good point guard, and Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. So big fans of them. But again, as me and you talk about offline a lot, at the underdog in college basketball March Madness. So going to try that this year, bet all the underdogs and see if I make a profit.
What did that? You sent me an article. I didn't actually click it. What did that article say that went back and back tested?
It says you would be up if you did it the past 3 to 5 years. You would be up.
Interesting. And there's more parity happening now because of the 3-pointer and just everyone's being a better shooter, and it just adds more variance to those games. That's why we've seen 2 16s beat ones in the last few years for the first time ever. So I wonder how the pricing is reflective of those things.
There's just more basketball talent generally. Like before, there used to be only like, you know, like 100 like top tier guys that colleges were looking for. But now there's like in high school, there's hundreds of guys who can really play every class. And so there's just way more talent available. So mid majors can really, really play and compete. So yeah.
I just got a hilarious text from Cy. He called me and I had to ignore the call. I don't know if you heard the call come in. And then, so I texted him, we'll call you soon. It's my 94-year-old grandpa for people listening. And he responds to the I'll call you soon with, tell me about it. And I just don't, know if he's trolling me, being like, I don't call him enough. So, tell me, like, I'll call you soon. Tell me about it. Or if he's just being serious, that's his verbiage in response. Because I do call him. I call him very often. What's he trolling me for?
Tell me about it.
All right, that'll do it. Clearly, I got some family to call. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, refreshing the best bets. Gibby's betting on the unwatchable games. He wants reasons to watch them. So he will be betting on the Nets Magic and the Hornets Grizzlies, both of the overs. I have Pistons -2.5. I have Nuggets -3, Pacers -3, and Lakers Kings under 239.5. That will do it for today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. I always forget to find the outro video. Peace out.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.